The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are taking a look at the latest parallel investigator to join the Arkham Horror LCG universe. That's right, Roland Banks has arrived at the scene of the crime, and we are going to take a look at him. Man, oh man, there is a lot to talk about here with Roland. I feel as though the designers have been fairly conservative when it comes to the parallel investigators. They've tinkered a little bit with their special abilities as well as their deck building options, but they haven't done anything too drastic. Designer Jeremy Zvorn has taken a different approach here with Roland. This seems like a radical reimagining of the investigator. Not only do we get a new special ability, but we get an entirely new mechanic in the form of directives, which begin the game in play. This version of Roland also sports some new deck building options, and to top it all off, you get 5 bonus experience points. So a very intriguing investigator, and that's what we are going to explore today. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these parallel investigator previews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. Before we jump into the parallel version of Roland Banks, it's worthwhile just reviewing the parallel investigator rules. When you are building a Roland Banks deck, you may choose whether to use the original version or the parallel version of both his front side and his back side. Each version has its own advantages and disadvantages. You can also mix and match the two versions. That means you can use both original sides, both parallel sides, the original front and parallel back, or the parallel front and the original back side. It's all up to you. That gives deck builders an incredible amount of flexibility, and makes talking about the parallel investigators a little bit challenging. This video is going to focus primarily on the parallel version, both the parallel front and the parallel back together, although I will touch on some of the other combinations as we go through this video. Let's jump right into Roland Banks, the parallel version of the Fed. The stat line is the same. He has 3 willpower, 3 intellect, 4 combat, and 2 agility. No changes there. The agency and detective traits. However, during deck creation, you choose 3 different directive assets to add to your deck. That's the new mechanic that I hinted at earlier. We will take a look at the directives in a moment. As a free triggered ability, you can flip a directive asset face down, ignoring the permanent keyword, and you can only do that once per game. And there are reasons that you would want to do that. His Elder Sign effect is also slightly different. It is +2, and you can choose a directive asset. You may ignore its regulation ability this round. This version of Roland also sports some new flavor text. If I stir up trouble, Sheriff, it will be because there's trouble to stir up. And Roland has 9 health and 5 sanity, just like his original version. Now, the parallel version of Roland Banks is all about the new mechanic, that being the directives. The parallel print and play file contains 5 different directives that you can mix and match. You do have to choose 3 of them, but you do have 5 to choose from, which gives deck builders, again, more flexibility to build the parallel Roland Banks deck of their dreams. Let's take a look at them now. The first directive is Consult Expert. It is an asset. Roland Banks deck only permanent, as all of the directives are. As the regulation is, you cannot voluntarily assign damage or horror to ally assets. And the benefit of this particular directive is you have 1 additional ally slot. Well, starting a campaign with 1 additional ally slot without having to invest 3 experience points in charisma is amazing, especially if you combine the parallel front version of Roland Banks with his original back version, so he can use some of those cheap Seeker allies from the Seeker class, like Dr. William T. Mallison and Art Student were popular choices in Roland. So the ability to play multiple allies right off the bat is fantastic. Now, the inability to voluntarily assign damage or horror, and in Roland's case, especially horror, since he only has 5 sanity, has the potential to be quite debilitating. It's also worth noting that this particular restriction also doesn't play all that well with some of the Guardian allies, particularly Tetsuo Mori and Brother Xavier, both of which you do want to sort of be assigning damage and horror to them so you can trigger their abilities. In Tetsuo's case, to search your deck for an item, and in Brother Xavier's case, to eventually kill him so he will explode and deal damage to the enemy. So there is a bit of anti-synergy there with some of the Guardian allies that are in the pool. Now, there are definitely ways in the card pool that you can mitigate the use of this directive. You can play one of the other directives that is available, Leave No Doubt, which gives you +3 sanity. So Roland would have a total of 8 sanity, which goes a long way to mitigating some of the sanity concerns about not being able to soak horror with your allies. Or you can play a bunch of the other assets that can soak damage and or horror for you, such as the Bulletproof Vest 3, Elder Sign Amulet 3, Fine Clothes, Flesh Ward, which was released in the Nathaniel Cho starter deck, Holy Rosary 2, which came out recently in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle, Something Worth Fighting For, and True Grit. Now, if soaking horror isn't the game you want to play, you can also heal damage and horror using cards such as Soothing Melody or Logical Reasoning, both of which are good options. I'm a big fan of this objective. I think the ability to have an additional ally in play at the start of a campaign is going to be too good to pass up for a lot of players out there. It is a little tricky when you're building a parallel Roland Banks deck because you don't have access to a lot of those cheap Seeker allies. You are limited to the Guardian ally pool, and a lot of those Guardian allies are either quite expensive or they don't synergize particularly well with the restriction, or the regulation, I should say, on this card. So I think this is a really good one. Probably might be better for if you're playing with the original backside of Roland, so that you can include those some of those Seeker allies. The second directive is Due Diligence. Roland Banks deck only permanent. It has the regulation you cannot fight more than twice each round. It has a free triggered ability: during a skill test, while investigating, evading, or parlaying, exhaust this directive. You get +2 skill value for this test for each enemy engaged with you. Now, +2 skill value for each enemy engaged with you while evading or parlaying can be quite helpful to Roland. Roland is not particularly agile, but occasionally killing an enemy is not the best course of action, and so having that ability to evade at a +2 would be very helpful. Of course, there are many, many enemies in the game that have the parlay action on them, and so more often than not, you are engaged with those enemies, so getting that +2 skill value for that parlay test would be very helpful indeed. Now, it's hard to imagine that Roland is going to be doing much investigating while engaged with multiple enemies, since each of those enemies will make attacks of opportunity against him. He can play a card like Followed, a rogue event from The Search for Kadath. He can include that card in his deck if you use the parallel deck building options on his backside, but outside of that, I'm not entirely sure how often he's going to be getting +2 while investigating. It just seems like taking that many attacks of opportunity would be quite dangerous. Now, the inability to fight more than twice each round is a little rough, considering things can and do go wrong in the Arkham Horror LCG. So if you're engaged with an enemy and you expect to take it down in a couple of actions, and then you get a bad pull from the chaos bag, or you draw an auto fail, and suddenly that enemy is very much alive and ready to attack you during the enemy phase. Not being able to finish it off with that third attack is potentially problematic, especially considering Roland has 5 sanity. Now, there are a lot of cards that can help you work around this regulation by dealing direct damage to enemies. Some of those cards include Alice Luxley, Ambush, not a great option, but it's still out there. Of course, you've got the Beat Cop from the core set who can dish out the damage. If you're using the parallel version of Roland's deck building options, you can play cards like Coup de Grace. Of course, you've got Guard Dog, Mano a Mano as well. And again, if you're using the parallel version of his deck building restrictions, you can play Sneak Attack, which also happens to synergize a little bit with that evasion bonus that you can receive, since the level 0 version of Sneak Attack, the enemies need to be exhausted. So while this the regulation on due diligence prevents you from fighting more than twice a round, if you include a lot of cards that deal direct damage, you do have the potential to get around that. So just in case you happen to miss due to a bad pull from the chaos bag, there are cards that could potentially take the enemy down before it attacks you during the enemy phase. The third directive is Leave No Doubt. It has the same text as the others. Regulation on this one is you cannot move more than twice each round, and the benefit is you get +3 sanity. Well, obviously the +3 sanity is a huge boon to Roland, considering he has only 5 sanity and a very punishing signature weakness that has the potential to dish out a lot of trauma. However, the regulation on this one, man, movement is so important in many scenarios in the Arkham Horror LCG that I feel like capping your movement at twice each round is potentially devastating. Now, unfortunately, unlike some of the other directives, which you can work around by playing in the case of the ally directive, you can play cards that other assets that soak damage in horror. In the case of the fighting one, you can pack more direct damage. There aren't many cards. I don't think there are any cards that can get around this movement restriction. Roland can play the parallel version anyway. He could play elusive, but of course that's a move action, and the cannot clause here overrules that. Safeguard, shortcut, none of those can get around the movement restriction. So that's pretty tough. Now, it is worth noting here that Roland does have that special ability to flip one of his directives over once per game, basically nullifying it. So if you did not need the +3 sanity boost and you were at a point in the game where you really needed to move from one end of the location to another and you needed to move more than twice, this, I think, would be a good candidate for it. You flip this over, you're going to lose the +3 sanity. So as long as you haven't taken 5 sanity yet, you'll be okay. But then at least you'll be able to move enough. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about these directives. They can all be flipped over once per game to remove that regulation. And of course, there is his Elder Sign ability as well. But of course, Elder Sign abilities being what they are, they're not something that you can rely on, because they depend on pulling one token from the Chaos Bag, which doesn't happen all that often. So while I really like the 3 sanity bonus on this one, man, that movement restriction is pretty tough to wrap my head around, especially when you're at the end of a scenario and you're really pressing for the finish. There are some scenarios, the Doom of Etsy, for example, that comes to mind, where you really need to be able to move. You need to be able to make that lunge for the end. So this one, the boon is good, but the regulation is pretty tough as well. The fourth directive is red tape. The regulation on this one is you cannot play more than two cards each round. And as a response, when you play an insight or tactic event, exhaust this directive, that event gains fast. Now, one insight or tactic event gaining fast each turn is a great way to speed up your tempo and generate action advantage. If you play your cards right, you can end up with basically four actions in a turn. Now, that said, many of the most attractive insight and tactic events for Roland, such as dodge, shortcut, and working a hunch, among others, already are fast, so you're not going to be getting any benefit from this card. Now, the regulation on this one is that you cannot play more than two cards each round. It's important to remember that as far as skill tests go, cards are committed to skill tests. They are not played. So this regulation does not affect your ability to commit cards to skill tests, unlike one of the other directives that we will look at in a moment. It seems to me that this regulation may hurt you more at the beginning of a scenario when you're trying to set up your board state. You're trying to play all those high value assets onto the table. You're trying to play events as well. You may want to play more than two cards per turn. It may not hurt you quite as badly towards the end of a scenario once you've got everything set up and you're doing more fight and investigate actions toward the end of a scenario. This one may not sting as much. Now, I think of many of the directives, while this regulation is potentially annoying, I think if you play your cards right and you're careful and sort of manage your turn, I think you can probably play around this pretty successfully for most of a scenario. So I think if you are careful, you can probably work around this one a little bit easier than some of the other regulations on the directives. Finally, we come to the directive Seek the Truth. Again, Roland Banks deck only and a permanent. The regulation on this one is while your location has one or more clues, you cannot commit cards to skill tests unless you have discovered a clue this round. Now, the benefit, after you discover a clue, if an enemy is at your location, you can exhaust this directive to draw one card. Now, card draw is quite rare in the Guardian card pool, and card draw is very powerful. So the ability to draw cards is very nice. Now, there is some potential synergy here, it looks like, with the directive due diligence. That is the one where you are investigating to get where you can investigate and get that +2 bonus for enemies engaged with you. Cards like On the Hunt to find those enemies to be engaged with you, and the Guardian ally Alice Luxley, who can allow you to damage an enemy when you discover a clue. So I think there's some interesting synergy there that might be worth exploring. I'm not a huge fan of this particular directive. I think of the five directives, this is the one I like the least, largely because that draw, while card draw is amazing, that draw is conditional on discovering a clue while there is an enemy at your location, which of course is going to take some time to set up and as well risks attacks of opportunity. So unlike the gaining the additional ally or gaining the 3 sanity, those things happen right away and you can start leveraging those slots and that health, sanity right away. This one's going to take a little bit more time to set up. You're going to need to get that enemy, which probably means you're going to be playing something like On the Hunt to fish for enemies or some of the other cards that Roland now has access to draw extra encounter cards in the hope of getting those enemies. Examples include Drawn to the Flame and Delve Too Deep. So the draw is very conditional. Now, the regulation on this one, man, it hurts, because the thing is here, you're prevented from committing cards to skill tests unless you have discovered a clue, which is going to be very tough to do if you cannot commit cards to the skill test to discover said clue. So assuming Roland starts a turn at a location, he's not going to, and just takes a basic investigate action, He's not going to be able to commit cards to that skill test, so unless you have some way of boosting your intellect, say with a talent like Keen Eye, or you know, the static bonus from an ally like Alice Luxley, you're not going to be able to commit cards, and with just a base intellect of 3, you're going to have a tough time discovering clues, which means you're not going to be able to commit skill cards to other skill tests that turn either. So, man, that's a really awkward situation to be in. And I'm not a huge fan of that particular regulation. Now, you can work around this to some extent with cards like Drawn to the Flame, which the parallel version of Roland can play, the guarding card Scene of the Crime, or Working a Hunch, cards that let you discover clues without investigating. They can help you work around this restriction, because as soon as you discover a clue, you're good to go. You can commit all the cards you want to skill tests that you like. Even if you, I think here, even if you have moved, it doesn't matter where you discover the clue. You just have to discover a clue. And so if you discover a clue at one location, then move to another one, you can still commit cards to those skill tests. It's also worth mentioning that this regulation is very bad during the Mythos phase too, since you cannot commit cards to skill tests unless you've discovered a clue this round, and the Mythos phase happens first, so you don't have a chance to discover a clue before you, say, have to take a test from Rotting Remains, and you're unable to commit skill cards to that. So I think if you're playing with this one, you definitely want some sort of talent around in order to boost your willpower, just in case you do get tagged by one of the many willpower treacheries that are often in the encounter deck. Now, this regulation seems a little more punishing in multiplayer than in solo, simply due to the preponderance of clues in that format. If Roland can't discover a clue himself, at least in solo, you can end up at a lot of locations that don't have any clues on them, either because you've discovered them the previous round, or they simply don't have any clues natively. And as long as you're at those locations with no clues, you can still commit cards to skill tests. So in solo play, you can often end up at locations that have no clues. That's a little more difficult to do in a multiplayer format where there are 4, 8, you know, clues on a location, and unless Roland grabs one of those himself, he will not be able to commit cards to a skill test. So, not a huge fan of Seek the Truth, unfortunately. I think I'm going to have to build a deck with it and see, but I think there might be something there. If you play with Due Diligence and On the Hunt and Alice Luxley, you might be able to work around this. But I feel like that the regulation on this one is pretty punishing, especially if you're discovering clues the old-fashioned way, you're not going to be able to commit cards to those skill tests. So perhaps you build your deck simply to cheat clues all the time. You forego investigation entirely and simply cheat clues with cards like Drawn to the Flame and Working a Hunch and Scene of the Crime, so you don't have to worry about that. So not a huge fan of Seek the Truth. So if you asked me to pick the 3 directives that I was going to play with, just based on gut instinct here, I think I would probably go with the Consult the Experts, which is you get an additional ally, Red Tape, which gives you can play an insight or tactic event, and exhaust the directive to gain fast. That can get you an extra, basically almost an extra action every turn. And then things get a little more challenging. I think I would probably go for Leave No Doubt, which gives you the +3 sanity. But man, the movement restriction on that one is pretty dicey for me. And so I might go with the one of the other ones that lets you, maybe that one that gives you the bonus for parlaying and evasion. That one might not be too bad. Now, I think while those are the 3 I would sort of pick based on my gut, and I'm as when it comes to playing in solo, I'm pretty risk averse. So these ones seem like the safest bet, but I think you could also make a case for playing the due diligence directive with seek the truth and red tape and going about it that way. And so you get the plus two skill value when enemies are engaged with you. You get the one where you draw cards if enemies are engaged with you, and then the one where you can play insight and tactic events as they gain fast. I think you could probably make a case. I'm not too sure what that deck looks like, honestly. We'll do a little bit of theory crafting later, but there's a lot of changes to Roland Banks, as you can imagine. So it's tough to sometimes figure out what the best approach is. But that's what I would go with my gut. But I'm sure, I mean, he just came out today, so I'm sure players will have plenty of options to explore as they dig it further into his into Roland Banks's deck building. That brings us to the backside of Roland. Of course, the original version of Roland from the core set, he can include guardian cards level 0 to 5, seeker cards level 0 to 2, and neutral cards level 0 to 5. No real strange deck building requirements, just his signature asset, Roland's 38 special, his signature weakness cover up, and one random basic weakness. Now, the parallel version of Roland shakes things up quite a bit. His deck building options include guardian cards level 0 to 3, so no more level 4 or level 5 guardian cards. He can get insight cards level 0 to 3, tactic cards level 0 to 3, and neutral cards level 0 to 5. His deck building requirements are the same, his 38 special and cover up. However, this version of Roland also receives bonus experience points. You begin the campaign with 5 additional experience, which does not affect the number of weaknesses that you must take in standalone mode. This is, I think, only the second time we have seen this on an investigator, the first, of course, being Father Mateo from the Forgotten Age expansion. There are lots and lots of good level zero, level 1 to 3 guardian cards, a lot of really good ones in the level 1 and level 2 spots. If you want a little bit of extra combat bonus, you could go with, say, an Ace of Swords. Of course, Beat Cop 2 is an amazing ally, much better than the regular one. So having that ability to start a campaign with Beat Cop 2 is a dream come true. There are plenty of really interesting options. If you want to just beef up your weapons, you can do that. You could go for a copy of Enchanted Blade 3, or you could pick up a couple copies of the upgraded 45 automatic if that's the way you wanted to go. Of course, if you're playing by the list of taboos, this opens up Machete again to Roland at at a level 0, at the start of a campaign, I should say. He can play Machete again. So lots of interesting options there that for players to explore. Now, it's worth noting here the biggest difference, of course, besides losing the level 4 and level 5 guardian cards, is Roland does lose access to most, not all, but most seeker cards. He loses access to most, well, all of the seeker assets. So he loses all of the nice cheap seeker allies like Art Student and Dr. William T. Mallison. Some Roland decks were playing Dr. Mylan Christopher. So those are off the list. He also loses the skills. So cards like Deduction are gone, Inquiring Mind gone. So you can't play any of those if you want to experiment with the parallel version of Roland Banks, at least his the backside of him. So it's worth taking a look a little bit at what we lose here in terms of the Guardian card pool when you if you opt for the parallel version of Roland's deck building instructions. Largely, level 4 Guardian, level 4 and 5 Guardian cards are largely the big weapons in the game. You're losing things like the Flamethrower, the Holy Spear, Lightning Gun, the M1918 Bar. You're losing the shotgun, of course. So you're losing all of those big weapons. There are a couple of other nice cards in the mix. I've Had Worse 4 is pretty good, although there is I've Had Worse, I believe it is level 2, so you're not losing too much there. Agency Backup is, of course, a fantastic ally, but not an option anymore. Some people were experimenting with the Empty Vessel. So yeah, you're losing some stuff, but not, I wouldn't say you're losing a great deal. You know, you've got Nephthys, but that's probably more for a Bless deck. 1-2 Punch, that's really a Nathaniel card. Physical Training 4, well, you've still got Physical Training 0 and 2, I believe, so that's not much. And I don't think anybody is going to miss the Springfield M1903, although I think it had its XP amount reduced in the recent FAQ if you're using the list of taboos. So I think the Springfield is still an option, although I don't think many players will take it. So this brings up an interesting aspect, I think, of the parallel version of Roland Banks. And that's the sort of role that you see him playing in a campaign. I think if you go into a campaign where Roland is expected to be the big bad monster killer who's going to unleash hellish damage and dash enemies beneath his boots, I don't think the parallel version is that investigator. He simply doesn't have access to the big weapons anymore in that version. And so he's not going to be able to unleash hell on a lot of the bosses or the big bad enemies in the scenario. He does still have access to some pretty good weapons in those level 2 and 3 slots. So he's not completely defenseless, but in terms of just pure damage output, I don't think Roland, the parallel version anyway, is going to be very suitable for that type of build. However, I think if you take Roland into a multiplayer setting where you expect him to, you know, I want an investigator who can hold his own against enemies, but also do some investigating, probably grabbing a lot of clues without making skill tests, I think that version of Roland could do very well in a multiplayer setting, you know, picking off some of those smaller enemies and leaving the big ones for another guardian, such as Leo Anderson with a flamethrower or whatnot. In terms of the Seeker card pool, as I mentioned, Roland, the parallel version, loses access to assets and skills and some events as well. There are many, many events in the Seeker card pool with the insight or tactic trait. Not many of them see a lot of play in Roland Banks decks to begin with, so I don't expect there to be a lot of change there. There are cards like the one that stands out on the list here for me is Forewarned. I have played Forewarned in quite a few Roland decks, and it is a very nice option to have. Logical Reasoning is nice because it can also help you heal some horror, which is good. If you're looking for tutors, you've got No Stone Unturned. But cards like Anatomical Diagrams and Barricade and Connect the Dots and stuff like that, they're just not going to see play in most Roland Banks decks. So you still have access to those cards, but I don't think many people are going to be playing them. Finishing off the list of cards in the Seeker card pool with Insight, you know, you've got Preposterous Sketches, which is nice if you need some draw. Shortcut, of course, is huge. I play Shortcut in pretty much every Roland deck that I've ever built, and it's still amazing. And of course, Working a Hunch is very nice as well to discover clues, to discover a clue and as a fast ability. So a lot of the Seeker cards that were sort of the core of, or at least the events that were core to some Roland builds, are still around, so Roland's deck doesn't necessarily need to change that radically if you want to keep a lot of those good events like Shortcut and Working a Hunch. Now, in terms of tactics, not a great deal. There aren't that many in the Seeker card pool. We've got, of course, I've Got a Plan and Barricade, which I don't think I've ever seen played in a Roland deck. The big one here is Practice Makes Perfect. Now, because Roland can't use the Seeker skills anymore, at least the parallel version can't, He does lose access to some of the good practice cards with the practice trait. However, the Guardian card pool has a lot of good cards with the practice trait, like Take the Initiative. You can play cards like neutral cards like Overpower and Perception. So I'm glad to see that Practice Makes Perfect is still an option there for Roland if he wants it. And of course, Shortcut has both the Insight and Tactic trait, and a stellar card since its release in the Dunwich Legacy. So let's take a look at the new stuff that Roland gets access to. Because he can take cards with the Insight trait, levels 0 to 3, it opens up a few interesting options for him. We have, of course, Delve Too Deep, which has been a staple of many a Mystic deck since its release in the Miskatonic Museum. That ability to discover or to gain some experience points at the cost of drawing an encounter card is fantastic if you need a little bit of experience points, say to pick up that Stick to the Plan, which of course is still an option due to Roland's deck building options. Drawn to the Flame, while Roland's the parallel version of Roland's front side loses that ability to discover a clue as a reaction, he does gain Drawn to the Flame, so he can discover two clues, again at the cost of an encounter card. Now this creates some interesting options if you're playing the original front side of Roland and you want to discover clues as a reaction for defeating enemies. Cards like Delve Too Deep and Drawn to the Flame will draw you additional encounter cards, which of course improves Roland's chances of fishing for enemies if necessary. So that might be something worth exploring in a Roland build. Now there are a few other cards, insight cards on the list. Unfortunately, not that many of them are that interesting. There is Eavesdrop, a rogue event from the Forgotten Age, which can help you discover clues, but you do need an exhausted enemy at your location. And Roland isn't that good in the agility department, so it's unlikely that he's going to be able to exhaust an enemy in order to play a card like Eavesdrop. Moonlight Ritual, nope, not going to be playing that. Quantum Flux, it's nice to have sometimes, but for me, it's often the 31st card in my deck, and sometimes I end up cutting it. And even when I do play it, it's not that impactful. Stargazing level 1, I think, is a pretty attractive option, actually. I've seen it do a lot of good work, especially in a multiplayer setting where you can feed those additional actions to somebody at the table. There's always somebody who can use it, and so it's quite nice to have. Sure Gamble 3 is an interesting option if you want to do a little bit of Chaos Bag manipulation, and Ward of Radiance, that's really for a deck that plays a lot of Blessings. Roland can certainly play that style of deck if he wants to, but I think it's really meant for, that's really a Sister Mary card, I think. Now, in terms of, Roland did have access to does get access to a couple of Seeker cards at level 3. I don't think any of them are all that interesting. Barricade 3, I don't see Roland playing that often. Expose Weakness, I don't think that sees any play at all. And the Stygian Eye that recently came out in the Lair of Dagon, that's really a curse deck type of card. And I don't think Roland, at least the parallel version anyway, is in any position to play a curse deck. While he does have access to Deep Knowledge, I don't think he has that many other ways to add curse tokens to the bag. So trying to pay for Stygian Eye is going to be very difficult indeed. However, there are Roland does get access to a lot of new cards with the Tactic trait, many of them Rogue and Survivor cards. So this is some interesting territory for him to explore. I'm not really that crazy about a lot of the cards on this list. There are some interesting standouts that I think make interesting additions to certain Roland decks. The first one that jumped out at me was Act of Desperation, the ability to use a card like the 45 automatic to blast away at enemies and then play Act of Desperation to throw the 45 automatic getting another attack and a bunch of resources out of it is pretty nice. You can even use it on the if you've got a spare gun in your hand, you can throw that at the enemy. So that's a pretty interesting card. Let God sort them out. I honestly don't see many rogues playing that, and I certainly don't see Roland playing it. Backstab, Roland's not going to be attacking with agility, so we can probably safely leave that one in the box. I don't think Bait and Switch 3 sees much play in Survivors, and I don't see it making the cut in Roland. Coup de Grace gives you a way to deal a little bit of additional damage, but the cost is pretty high. You basically need to play it as your last action. We've got Elusive, which is pretty nice. Again, it's on the if you're playing with the optional list of taboos, you're going to have to pay some experience for it. But it's a nice option to have around, especially if you're playing that the directive that prevents you from moving more than twice per round. Having an elusive in your back pocket to be able to bounce from one end of the map to the other in one move would be very handy indeed. Flare is an interesting card from the Survivor card pool. You can use it as a weapon or, of course, to fetch an ally. So you could play Flare right off the bat. You could play it in a levels right at the beginning of a campaign. Put a couple of Beat Cop 2s in your deck with a Flare to summon them, and you're off to the races. Followed, I mentioned that previously. It's an investigation action that you get to add... you get to add a bonus to your intellect based on the amount of damage on an enemy. There's some interplay there, certainly with Roland, who can dish out some damage to enemies, but it feels like there's a lot of moving parts with that card, and I think you're probably just better off playing easier cards. Hiding Spot has its uses. It's a huge boon if you've ever played it in the Night of the Zealot campaign, particularly in the third scenario. Hiding Spot solves a lot of problems. Sneak Attack gives you some extra damage, which is nice, but again, if you're playing the level 0 version, that enemy needs to be exhausted, which is not ideal for a very non-agile investigator like Roland. Swift Reload might be interesting, but of course Roland has extra ammunition already. And Under Surveillance, nope. Waylay, probably not. We're not going to be evading enemies or trying to kill them that way. And then the final card on the list, of course, is Winging It, which is a very nice tactic event from the Depths of Yoth that you can play from your discard pile if necessary to gain -1 Shroud to a location and discover an additional clue. So that's an awfully nice card. And of course, all of these tactics, you can stack them on Stick to the Plan if and when you purchase that upgrade from the... it was on the tip of my tongue, and then I lost it. So, from one of the Path to Carcosa expansions. So, all in all, I'm not blown away by the cards that Parallel Roland's revised deck building options give him. I think there's some interesting areas to explore, but a lot of the cards weren't being played by rogues and survivors to begin with, so I'm not too sure why Roland would suddenly latch onto them and play them himself. As somebody who plays predominantly solo, I'm really looking to play the most efficient cards possible. And a lot of the cards on these lists don't really meet that threshold for efficiency. So it'll be interesting to see what players come up with. It seems like a lot of the parallel investigators are getting access to the Survivor card pool, probably because the Survivor cards tend to be pretty strong overall. So we'll see what people come up with. That brings us to Roland's advanced signature cards. It's worth going over the rules for how to use those as well. So regardless of which version of Roland you use, you may also use the optionally upgraded Roland's signature cards. You may upgrade his signature cards to his advanced signature cards, replacing the original versions. These are only included as a set. You can't mix and match. If you choose to use Roland's upgraded 38 special, you must also use the upgraded cover-up. So, and you can do this at no experience cost. So if you want to start a campaign with the upgraded or the advanced Roland's 38 special and the advanced cover-up, you can do that. However, once this upgrade is made, you cannot be undone unless you are instructed otherwise. Now, Roland's challenge scenario by the book does give you the option if you, depending on how you, whether you succeed or fail at that challenge scenario, you can upgrade to Roland's 38 special or downgrade the cover-up. So, but that is the only way that you can change those after you've made that decision. So let's take a look at the advanced signature cards. Of course, Roland's 38 special from the core set, just as a reminder, 3-cost asset, will combat, agility, and wild skill icons, item, weapon, and firearm trait. Roland Banks deck only, uses 4 ammo. As an action, you can spend an ammo to fight. You get +1 combat for this attack. And if there are one or more clues at your location, you get +3 combat instead. This attack deals +1 damage, and it takes up a hand slot. The new Roland 38 special, the advanced version, same cost, gives you an additional intellect skill icon in addition to the combat, agility, and wild. Same traits. It has the same amount of ammo, 4 ammo. As an action, you can spend 1 ammo, fight, you get +2 combat for this attack. If there are one or more clues at your location, you get +4 instead. So a boost of 1 across the board for your combat. The attack again deals 1 damage. Now here's the special part. If your attack defeats an enemy and there are no clues on your location, place 1 ammo on Roland's 38 special. Again, it takes up a hand slot. So it's clearly better than the original version from the core set. The combat bonus is nice. It's nothing spectacular. It's just +1, and if there's a clue, you get an up to +4 from +3. Damage is the same. But if you do defeat an enemy with this and there are no clues on your location, that's the tricky part. You can place 1 ammo on Roland's 38 special. So it's nice that it reloads itself. But again, how often is this going to happen during a scenario where you defeat an enemy and there are no clues on your location at the same time? Now, perhaps there's some interplay there with those directives that encourage you to be engaged with enemies and investigating at the same time. I still have a hard time wrapping my head around how that particular deck works. But if you were to say investigate, discover the clue, I'm speaking here in solo, say at a location with 1 clue, you investigate, you may take the attack of opportunity or not. You may end up say triggering Alice Luxley to deal a damage to that enemy. Then you attack it with Roland's 38 special. You're not going to get the +4. You're going to get +2. But then if you kill it, you get an ammo. So I think it might work in that sort of deck where you're playing around with those particular objectives that encourage you to be engaged with enemies. But it's nice. It's I don't think it's spectacular, but if I could upgrade to it without having to upgrade cover up, I'd take it. I'm not going to say no to it for sure. That brings us to cover up. Man, I hate this card. If I had to pick the worst signature weakness in the game, cover up would be a leading contender. I have had more Roland Banks campaigns destroyed by this card than I care to mention. Of course, the original being Revelation put cover up into play in your threat area with 3 clues on it. As a response, when you discover 1 or more clues at your location, discard that many clues from cover up instead. When the game ends, if there are any clues on cover up, you suffer 1 mental trauma. Man, oh man, I hate this thing. So many times you cover up really depends on when you draw it. If you draw it early in a scenario, there's a pretty good chance that you can probably discover enough clues in order to clear the clues from cover up and not take that mental trauma. If you happen to draw cover up late, if you want an example of that, go back and watch my game of the day with Roland Banks playing extracurricular activity. One of the last turns of the game, I draw cover up, and of course I'm in no position to clear it, and so you get tagged with a mental trauma. So, and worst case scenario, you end up going down to defeat while you have cover up in play and end up taking two mental trauma, which is when you've only got 5 sanity to begin with. That pretty much can end your campaign right then and there. Now, all of the advanced signature weaknesses for other parallel investigators have been worse than their original versions. So I expected the advanced version of Cover Up to be worse. I know that, man, Jeremy Zwirn did, he took such a radical approach here to the parallel version of Roland, you know, introducing the new mechanic of the directives, changing around his special ability, fiddling around with his deck building options, throwing that extra experience at you. I wish he had been just a little more radical with Cover Up Advanced, because the only difference between the two is that instead of 3 clues, you need to clear 4. So it's worse. Not much worse. I mean, you can't really get much worse than the worst signature weakness in the game. But it's still worse. And I wish... I mean, so many players have recognized that Cover Up is a terrible weakness. And many, many players who play Roland these days, if they have access to his replacement cards from Roland's novella, they tend to use those instead of Cover Up and have a much better experience. So I know that Jeremy did a lot of, you know, he really tried to take this parallel version of Roland in a different direction, and I wish he had done the same with Cover Up. I don't know what kind of latitude he had to do that, but it would have just been nice to see the weakness tweaked a little bit to make it less debilitating. Now, is the advanced 38 special worth the upgrade, worth upgrading your cover up as well? I don't know. It's the original version of cover up is so bad that I don't know, adding an extra clue is significantly worse. Again, it still depends on when you draw it. If you draw cover up early in a scenario, chances are that you can probably clear 4 clues from it. You have it might be a little bit trickier to get that 4th clue in time, but chances are you can probably do it, especially if you're playing in multiplayer and you have other investigators helping you. It's not nearly the bear it is in solo. But if you draw it late, I mean, you probably weren't going to clear 3 clues off cover up, so clearing 4 doesn't make much of a difference. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, cover up is so bad already that making it just slightly worse doesn't really, I guess, faze me all that much. I don't know if I would necessarily upgrade to Roland's 38 special if I know I have to take this thing, but it's already such a swingy card that adding that extra clue on it isn't really going to make a huge difference. If you get it at the right time, you're probably still going to clear it. If you get it at the wrong time, you're probably still going to take the mental trauma. So I still hate cover up. I still hate it a lot. So I wish he just changed the text, but we can't get everything. That's okay. So that brings, it's usually about this time of the video, and man, I've already been talking for an hour and we haven't even discussed Roland's challenge scenario by the book. I think I'll leave that for another video. It's about this time of the video where I sit down and offer you my take on the parallel version of Roland Banks. And man, I did not I don't think I did a particularly good job in this aspect. I think the preview article for the parallel version mentions that the parallel version of Roland Banks is very much a puzzle to be solved by deck builders, and I certainly felt that when I sat down to build the parallel version of a Roland Banks deck. If you take a basic Roland Banks deck, say Dadu's classic Roland Banks deck that uses the Guardian and a lot of good Seeker cards, you can modify that deck pretty easily to fall into to make it parallel compatible. You don't really need to change a lot of cards. You lose some of the good Seeker allies, you lose some of the good Seeker skills, but the card pool has grown so much since Dadu built that deck way back when that there are a lot of very good Guardian cards to fill those holes now. So you don't necessarily need to go wild and crazy and experiment with some of with some of Roland's new deck building options. That said, I did sit down and try to build a solo deck that I thought might that would be interesting to play. The directives I went with here are consult expert, leave no doubt, and red tape, those being the one that gives you the additional ally. Slot, the one that gives you the +3 sanity, and the one that lets you play insight and tactic event fast once per turn. With the 5 bonus experience points, I went with 1 copy of Ace of Swords. So if I get lucky when I draw my opening hand, I get an extra combat, which is always nice. I'd love to start a game with Roland with a 5 combat. That would be awesome. And I also picked up 2 copies of Beat Cop 2. Again, Beat Cop 2 being way better than than the level 0 version. So glad to start with that. I'm using the 45 automatic, Roland's 38 special, and 2 Enchanted Blade in order to do the fighting. I think this deck, if you get the Ace of Swords out, and you can handle your own in combat, I think, pretty easily. Course, prepared for the worst is a tactic event, so you can use that to fetch one of your weapons. And since you do have the red tape directive, you can play that as a prepared for the worst gains fast, which is awesome. We've got the flashlight, drawn to the flame, winging it, and working a hunch in there to discovering clues. Of course, when you switch to the parallel version of Roland, you're losing that ability, that reaction to discover clues when you defeat an enemy. So I felt as though I needed to beef up Roland's ability to discover clues. Working a hunch was in the original deck, so no change there. Drawn to the flame, a nice way to discover 2 clues for the cost of an encounter card. One card that could very easily have made the cut here is, of course, Scene of the Crime, which lets you discover 1 clue, 2 clues if you are engaged with an enemy. So lots of options at this point in the game's the age of the card pool to fill in for that clue discovery. Of course, there's still cards like Evidence that you could include as well if you want to discover clues when you defeat an enemy. So not too bad there. Now, of course, Drawn to the Flame, Prepared for the Worst, and Winging It are fast with the red tape directive. It'd be nice to jam even more insight and tactic events into this deck. I just went fairly conservative here. I think you could play around with some of the zanier options. There are some in the rogue card pool that might be worth playing around with. But I just went for the tried and true in this case. And we have a smoking pipe in there to convert health to sanity. Again, being a little bit worried, we are getting the +3 sanity boost from Leave No Doubt. So we have 8 sanity, but we can't soak sanity with allies. So we're going to be able to use the Beat Cop and the Guard Dog to their full extent because we can't. soak sanity and sorry, we cannot soak damage and horror with them. So having the smoking pipe in there to convert to take a damage to heal a horror is nice. Now, of course, it's important to remember that when you are playing with the directives, you do have that free triggered ability once per game. You can flip one of these. I could easily see myself flipping the Leave No Doubt directive. So eliminating the movement restriction, I could see that being very, very important towards the end of a scenario. I could also see myself flipping Consult Expert if I didn't, you know, if I'm at a stage in the game when I only have one ally out on the table and I don't foresee myself getting a second, then it's not really doing anything for you. So you might as well flip it so you can soak damage and horror on that ally. And of course, Red Tape, once you've played all your insight and tactic events as a that have gained fast, then it's not really going to help you all that much. So you can flip that if you need to play more than two cards per turn. But again, I think that one's probably easier to play around than certainly the movement restriction is. So I would probably flip the Leave No Doubt first and then go from there. But of course, that would require me to manage my health and sanity very carefully. So I do not end up in a situation where I really need to flip Leave No Doubt. And of course, I can't because it's, say I've taken six horror and I'm not in a position to. So I think there are several other cards I considered for this deck. Something worth fighting for, of course, you can soak some horror there. You could also use a card like, which one was it? The New Holy Rosary that was released, the Guardian Holy Rosary that was released in the Innsmouth Conspiracy. It gives you a little bit of horror. And of course, there's Hallowed Mirror if you just want to go for pure healing. Play the Hallowed Mirror, get the Soothing Melodies out, and then you can heal damage and horror as necessary. So those are certainly options that are worth considering in this deck. Again, like I say, this is just very preliminary. I mean, the parallel version of Roland Banks has been out for less than, I don't know, maybe 8 hours at this point. So I expect players to have a lot of fun digging into the new directives and exploring the various combinations and seeing what pops out. So stay tuned to ArkhamDB in the days to come. I expect to see quite a few new Roland Banks decks pop up over there. Man, oh man, that's a lot of stuff to talk about. That's going to do it for my look at the Roland Banks Parallel Investigator. Man, Jeremy Zwirn did a fantastic job of changing Roland Banks. Who knows whether it's for the good or the worse, but you know, the designers of this game have done a fantastic job of creating interesting investigators for players to explore. And I expect the parallel version of Roland Banks to be no different. The directives certainly add a new take on the investigator. The ability, the fact that you have five of them to pick and choose from when you build your deck creates a lot of flexibility. And then you throw some new deck building options on top of that. And finally, that five experience points, and you have a man. Dynamite. So like I said, that's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe, and I will be back with more fantastic Arkham Horror content soon. Take care. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.